The dishonest media strikes back. And yet here we are in this week. I had an interesting meeting on a rooftop with some men wearing dresses and cheap makeup. Jussie Smollett is surprisingly released from jail. And Donald Trump is still winning. Back on another episode of Slightly Offensive. Welcome back to another episode of Slightly Offensive with your favorite host, me, Elijah Schaefer. We're here in the studio in a crazy week. Yes, turns out, surprisingly, the Russia collusion was a hoax. Jussie Smollett is still guilty, but ran free, showing us that black privilege definitely does exist. I want to make sure that you know that we cannot do this show without you. Please remember to support us at slightlyoffensive.com. Maybe consider helping us out on PayPal by the links below. And if you're the audio kind of only, I'm driving to work, long form podcast kind of guy, somewhere over on Jussie Smollett's face, like by his eyes or maybe his forehead, you see a link here. Click that to download the audio only version on Apple Podcasts, or you can find the links in the description below for Spotify and Google Podcasts. If you have an Android, I'm praying for you. Maybe one day you'll stop using it and move over to Apple like the rest of us adults. Anyways, I want to begin in a really important thing. So some of you guys don't know, but Los Angeles, also known as the typhus capital of the world or the medieval disease central, is an interesting city, right? So the other day I was out walking about with a good friend of mine. His name's Austin. He runs a channel called Fleckus Talks. He's essentially a big man with a spoon. It's as well as I can describe him. And we got done with a very, very busy time producing the shows that you love. We walk downtown, you know, casually passing 300, 500 homeless people with oozing sores and, you know, like dental diseases that probably don't exist in any other first world country. And as I'm stepping over and ignoring the complete deterioration of American fabric and society, I walked into, a nice hotel. We go past a couple security guards, and we end up at the top of this rooftop lounge and bar called the Nomad. Now, I'm just thinking, yeah, Nomad, I'm traveling through life. This is going to be good. And we decide to lounge. And while I'm sitting there, across from the table, because, of course, they're so normal-looking and so ingrained into the normalcy of society, I noticed three people. Now, I'm not going to call them the T-word, because, of course, you know, Daddy YouTube is going to censor us and shut this down. But let's just say that there were three beautiful women with big hands, you know, feminine hands and massive foreheads and jaws. You know, like the real masculine-looking women that I would never say aren't real women because, you know, don't want to offend Twitter here. But they were just, you know, those masculine men. And they were wearing these terrible dresses, with their narrow snake hips and their little tiny legs, you know, and their flat chests. And you're like, wow, those are some beautiful women, Jack Dorsey. I would never call them not women. They're clearly women. They were sitting there and they were drinking the most straight drinks you could ever drink. Appletinis. You're not gay if you like Appletinis. What's gay about a little drink that's green? Come on. There's a little green in all of us. And they're discussing something that I almost think is out of the movies. They're executives or some sort of influencers on some major Hollywood company. And it could have been Disney, but I don't know. They mentioned Marvel. They're sitting there and in their really straight, genuine, authentic female voices that were definitely not men because that would be transphobic. They start talking about what the future of their companies would look like. And of course, the one for sure woman says, yeah, well, like, we gotta figure out what we're doing for spring. And like you know, because they're like breathing and panting and like, it's not a forced voice, obviously. It's authentic. It's like, well, what do we do about the future? And then what happens is the other one goes, well, I don't know. I mean, and why do they all sound like that? Why do all these women in Hollywood in dresses with man hands, they all sound like this? She goes, I know what we need. And this other, like, guy, I think it was a guy. See, this one was actually a guy, was like, yo, what do we need? And it's like, and the girl goes, I think we need more queer people. Like, I think, like, America is, like, we need more diversity, you know? It's, like, what we need is, like, we gotta get in our acting reels. We gotta start requiring people to, you know, introduce, like, queer characters, you know? Because America needs more queer people. I looked over at Austin, who was, like, just sitting there trying to enjoy his life. And he says, to me, which I'm like, oh, they got you too? But he wasn't in their voice. He says, like, do you believe these people are looking at America? These are, like, executives or leaders of Hollywood, of companies. And what they think that Americans want is more queer people in their videos? And if YouTube's watching, yes, we want a lot of more queer people. That's all that we want. You know what? It's true. My kids, that's what I want for them. I want you to throw in more women in dresses that look like women with small hips. That's what we need. Nobody's asking for that. Not a single person in the world said, what I want for my movies is more queers. Also, clearly women in dresses. It's not like you don't put enough queer people in movies. I looked it up. It's like there's about 17 to 24% of characters in movies today have some sort of LGBTQ representation, but they currently only represent like 3 to 4% of the population, which means that they are overrepresented by about 500%. Okay? So when I looked at this, I realized Hollywood and the mainstream media, while sitting on the top of a roof of a 5-star exclusive bar, while people are dying from flea-ridden diseases below them, have decided that you, America, needs more man hands and cheap makeup. That's what you want. I disagree with them. And that's why I'm here to say it's slightly offensive. We are about to confront the dishonest media. They are so trapped in their delusions, their ideologies, and of course, their club dresses, which, of course, they look good on. I would never say anything transphobic, because here at Slightly Offensive, we are pro-trans, being a trans woman myself. But I will say this, as we get into this, we are going to look at some crazy things. Number one, we're seeing how Jussie Smollett was released. Yes, gay black privilege exists, as long as you know the Obamas. We're also finding out that the Russia collusion was a hoax. And yes, Rachel Maddow might have been wrong. It's not like her haircut let us know that for the last several years. I mean, come on, Rachel. I don't care that you're a lesbian. I'm pro-lesbian. I am one myself as well. But come on. Boy haircuts on girls, not the best look. And also, we're going to talk to Avi Yemeni, who was absolutely defamed by Comedy Central. And look at how the mainstream media is trying to cover it up. We hope you enjoy the show. From my understanding, child labor laws were put into effect to keep young children, especially young boys, from working. Which makes me wonder and question why MSNBC has gotten away with employing a 13-year-old boy for the last several years to host one of their hit shows. And no, I'm not talking about Keith. I'm talking about our good friend Rachel. Rachel Maddow, who rocks a better boy cut than I do. Believe it or not, Rachel Maddow is seeing her ratings decline. An article from AP News wrote that Maddow and other MSNBC hosts are seeing their ratings drop, and Fox is seeing ratings incline after the recent hearings and releasings of the Mueller report. It turns out that Rachel Maddow still is not backing away from her coverage of President Donald Trump and any connection he has to the Russia collusion, even though the Attorney General Barr has stated there was no collusion in the report. And this is where we get into the dishonest media. Rachel Maddow, as the poster child for young boys and also the liberal media, has decided that she knows better than the American people. It says here, though, however, that the American people are learning that the media is not looking out for their best interests. Instead of trying to speak the truth, the media is latching onto a narrative to control the conversation in our country and insists on continuing to talk about the things that matter to them as to divide us. But people aren't buying it. After 2 days being back on the air, it is reported that her audience of 2.5 million on Monday was 19% below her average this year. which means that for 2 years, Rachel has pushed a conspiracy theory, our favorite tin hat wearing friend who makes Alex Jones look soft, as finally seeing the repercussions for her actions. And so you would think that the media would have started learning that us, the people, are tired of them telling us what to think, but they are not. And they don't care about us. And this week has been one of the worst instances where we are watching the deep state, and I might call them the deep state media, act on behalf of their own special interests in a way that is even at the detriment of our own welfare and the union of our country. See, Mueller's investigation was clear. There was no collusion. After 2,800 subpoenas, it was found that, hey, there was no actual connection. Donald Trump, at a speech the other night in Michigan, said, when they approached him and said, hey, Donald, did you collude with Russia? And his face said, Russia? Russia? What the hell are you talking about with Russia? I didn't collude with Russia. And of course, for 2 years, he said the same thing. I didn't collude, but no one paid attention to him, at least not the media. The problem with this is that while the media thinks they're controlling us, we are smarter than them. Americans aren't stupid. We can think for ourselves. We know what's going on, which is why this recent release of Jussie Smollett is something that really hurts the fabric and the truth and the integrity of our justice system. Jussie Smollett was released and dropped of his 16 federal account charges, which I'm sure you're familiar of, simply probably because he was black and he was gay. Sadly enough, I got a parking ticket the other day. No one asked me if I was black or gay. Just kidding. They did, and they let me go. No, that's not true. I wasn't friends with Kamala Harris, or getting my, prosecutor wasn't getting money from George Soros, $408,000 for that matter. And I also wasn't friends with the Obamas, neither Barack or Michael. I mean, Michelle. The truth is, when we look at this, Jussie Smollett is released on behalf of even the Democrat mayor of Chicago, has said, hey, this is wrong. This is a blight on our justice system. The police chief said, this is wrong. Even federal prosecutors are saying, this is wrong. The people of America say this is wrong, but the media says, you know what? We love him. We love him so much that Anthony Anderson is hoping that Jussie Smollett actually wins an award from the NAACP. What we're finding here this week is, as the media has struck back, and as we've proved they were wrong with the Mueller report, they drop a bombshell on us the next day that Jussie's being released to show us that they still have the power, that they control, in the end, the truth. But what we're showing them is that we're not backing down. And actually, I'm starting to find that for the first time, the dishonesty in the media is becoming a bipartisan issue. Because for the first ever recorded recent event in history with Jussie Smollett and even the Mueller investigation, both Democrats, as in the viewers watching Rachel Maddow, and the prosecutors, police chief, and mayor who are looking at Jussie Smollett are saying, the media is doing us wrong. Now, I know to a lot of you guys, this is just a song that you've heard a million times before and a narrative that you already know. But if you think that it's this bad at the moment, and you think that things couldn't get worse, wait till you begin to look at what Comedy Central is doing. And this is where we get the importance of the alternative media. Every day, people mock what I do and say, you're not a real reporter, you're not a real journalist, this is not actually the news. And for those that say that, you're right. What I do is entertainment. But the truth of the matter is that I'm honest about it. Yes, I report. Yes, I do some journalism. But my bias is open. I consider myself a centrist on most issues, but I do lean right on a lot of ideas. But in some ways, I'm liberal. The problem with the media is that they pretend to be honest, like they're just giving you the ideas, the facts, and the news, but in reality, when you look at the story, they're just brainwashing you and trying to control you to believe what they want, which is not American values, it's not unity, it's pushing an idea that is to your detriment. And greatly enough, because the American people are so resilient, we're waking up to it. And so, hey, let's be glad that they learned their lesson. They're finally shutting shit down, and we're finally moving on in life, and we're deciding to report on what's honest. Wrong. We're going to look at right now something that blows my mind. There's a Jewish reporter, actually, named Avi Yemeni, goes online by Azraeli, but he was set up to look like he was a racist, that he was somebody who was doing something wrong, and they actually selectively edited his interview, broadcasted it to take him out of context, to make him look guilty and implicit with the rise of nationalistic ideas that are causing extremism in Western cultures. See, in any type of publication or entertainment company, you have to edit content for time. I mean, to be quite honest, a lot of people I interview are really boring. They're not that interesting, and they take a long time to answer my questions. So of course, when someone says something like, yeah, well, you know, I really like who you are, and I'm great, and I, you know, I think Trump, you know, he's not that bad, I think he's good, and, you know, my mom, she has diabetes, what am I going to do? I'm going to take out the part where they said, yeah, Trump's not that bad. I like Trump. He's not that bad. That's fine. They said it. It makes sense. Now, of course, selectively editing would be me filming myself going like, well, what do you think about Donald Trump? And then cutting to, my mom has diabetes. That's selectively editing. It's to make somebody look like they're saying something they're not. We don't take people out of context. We put them into context for timing and also for entertainment purposes, which isn't dishonest. It's actually truthful because we're open about the fact that we edit our videos. However, some entertainment companies today have gotten desperate to push a narrative, one of them being Comedy Central, which has decided that this new push against white people and against the rise of quote-unquote extremism is so big of an issue that they need to somehow create a problem that doesn't exist. The worst perpetrator of this is Avi Yemeni's interview with host Jim Jeffries on a Comedy Central show where he was flown out to Singapore, actually, to be on this special about the rise of extremism. Now, Jim Jeffries could have just put up an honest interview with him and talked to him basically about what his views are, because Avi Yemeni is a right-wing correspondent who's open about his support for Israel and conservatism. But, of course, Comedy Central, so desperate to push a narrative that is likely untrue, has decided that they were going to selectively edit his interview to take things that he said and put them with questions that weren't directly asked at the same time to paint Avi as being a blatant racist and complicit with extremist attacks. Even worse, they aired it right after the Christchurch attacks in New Zealand to make it almost seem that Avi and people affiliated with him are partly responsible for the attacks. Our guest today is Avi Yemeni, who's blessed us with his beautiful face and amazing accent, broadcasting from Melbourne. But before we get into this interview, I want you to see a couple clips from something awesome that Avi did. Avi knew that the mainstream media is dishonest and that they try to set him up. So he put a hidden camera, filmed the entire ordeal, and is exposing the mainstream media for the dishonesty that they're perpetrating.
So a few months ago, Jim Jeffries, producer, contacted me and asked me to come on as a guest to his show. Now, I agreed with two conditions. One, there'll be no neo-Nazi or Nazi sympathizers on the same segment because I don't want to be aligned to them and I don't want to give them any legitimacy or anything like that. Common sense. The second one was that they don't cut my answers from one question and put it to another. Now, to my horror, but not my surprise, they did exactly both. Both those things. But they went even further. They connected me to the Christchurch killer.
The New Zealand shooter left behind a detailed record of his anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim rhetoric. And unfortunately, these days, this kind of intolerance is being tolerated in more places than you might think.
I was shocked to hear that the prick allegedly behind the Christchurch, New Zealand mass shootings is a white supremacist who grew up and was radicalised in Australia. And this anti-immigration fervour is uniting some strange groups. It turns out that the one thing that can bring together the alt-right and a Jew is their shared hatred of Muslims. Meet Jewish activist Avi Yemeni, a good Australian name.
Luckily, I'm not an idiot, and I knew what their plan was all along. So what I did was, I got there, and I secretly put my phones down to record the entire segment.
I might sound like a hippie saying this. What gives anyone the right to tell anyone where they can and can't live?
When you import this culture, what do you think is going to happen? Australia's going to end up the same shithole that they came from, that they were escaping. Watch how Jim Jeffries has edited this last clip to make me look like an ass. See what I really said.
What gives anyone the right to tell anyone where they can and can't live? Really?
Like, borders?
I know borders, yeah. But wouldn't it just be nice if we got to a place in society where we had
utopia,
no...
Well,
a utopia, where we all just lived as...
On a level, I agree.
We may say I'm a dreamer,
I think most people, most, you know, sensible people would agree with you in theory.
Yeah.
But in practice, it's not... It goes against human nature. It just doesn't work.
You bloody scumbag, Jim.
All right, here on the show today is Avi Yemeni. He is a journalist and also somewhat of a expose on exposing the dishonesty of the mainstream media. Welcome to the show, Avi.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so Avi, why don't you go ahead and introduce a little bit about what you do and why you do it?
I guess what I do, I don't know. I kind of fell into it. I used to own gyms when I finished my service in the IDF. And to be honest, when I'd seen some of the reporting here in Australia on one of the operations in the Gaza Strip, it just frustrated me. And I had these really popular gyms. So I started posting from somebody who'd actually served on the front line the truth about what was happening. And I guess I kind of found my voice, and I kept talking about different issues that were bothering me and the way they were being reported. And I've now sold my gyms and work for Tommy Robinson Online, tr.news. So here I am today. I travel the world basically engaging different people on all sorts of all subjects that matter to conservatives, at least here in Australia.
Well, that's good. And plus, I mean, I like the fact that you're open to cursing now. You said the words Tommy Robinson, which are pretty much illegal in the UK at the moment. And so obviously you're bold. You pair up with Tommy Robinson. You're out there. You're in Australia. Tommy Robinson is probably one of the most lied about conservatives or people out there in general that's trying to expose what's going on in the deep state and the deep media. But mostly, I mean, obviously people have already seen this video with Comedy Central trying to set you up. Could you explain to me a little bit about how you predicted that they were going to set you up, and what is going on currently at the moment in this situation, as quite frankly, your exposure, I think, is getting more traction than their actual episode, and you're really shaking the core and the foundation. They're scared of you right now. So what's happening? Update us.
They are playing it cool. They're trying to ignore it. Now, their new tactic is to delete and block anybody that's commenting on any of their social media platforms. And you could see in the last week or since when I posted it, almost every minute there has been a tweet to Jim Jefferies or the Comedy Central or the show. I knew that the moment they called me, I knew it was a stitch up. There was no reason. I know who Jim Jefferies is. I used to be a fan of his in the beginning before he got all political. And they tried to play it down. So I made these two conditions. I said, I'm happy to be on your show. I'm somebody that's pretty confident with what I say. I believe in what I stand for. And I know that as long as you don't take me out of context, I'm happy to stand. And I know that even what I'm saying is going to make your show good. But from the moment they started to give me these, to make promises that they were going to commit to not putting me with neo-Nazis and not chop up my... my answers, I said, just to, you know, I've experienced in the past where they have done exactly that, not Comedy Central, but every other mainstream media has done that to me. And I've learned that the only way to combat it is to literally film it yourself. And if, you know, I went into it as well. You got to understand, like, I got there on the day. They flew me to Singapore. I got there on the day and... I in my head, I was like, I'm going to put the camera down. If they challenge me about putting the camera down, then I'll say to them, listen, I told you from the beginning I don't trust you. I'm going to have the camera here as my protection. Now, if they were going to kick me out of the studio at that point, I would be like, great. That in itself was going to expose them for what they were going to do. So it was kind of a win-win for me. I didn't, you know, but they were so self-absorbed that nobody noticed. There was, I don't know, 15 people in that room. Not one person noticed me putting two phones. It was, that's why if you look at the footage, one of them's blurry, one of them's focused, is one of the phones happened to be filming blurry and the focus one kind of cut out at halfway. And I'll probably, hopefully later today or tomorrow, be uploading the entire hour so people can kind of see the context. We had a good conversation and I wish he'd just... You know, I understand he couldn't put the hour up there, but at least, you know, he spent, let's say 5-10 minutes overall, he cut me up. At least portray it honestly and put my honest answers to the questions that he'd put forth to me. But right, he wasn't even willing to do that.
No, yeah, and that's good too, because, I mean, there's not really any point in history either where I know that, like, Jewish people have been treated unfairly. So it's a good thing that this is the start of it, where the media has colluded and teamed up with administrations to try to target people. But what kind of surprises me here, to be honest, is when I watched your side of things, I mean, yeah, like you said, we have to concede to them the ability to edit, right? I mean, you have to edit for timing. You have to edit for pace. So there's nothing wrong. Problem. But they deliberately took you out of context. And what's strange is that when it comes to conservative sites, let's say even TR News, I'm sure that they would label you guys fake news because they would say that this is not established. And you mentioned that there were basically 15 people in the room that didn't even notice, which kind of shows you they're in so much darkness and they're so confident that their plans are going to pan out that they're not even expecting opposition. They think we're stupid to the point where I just noticed you actually got banned off of Facebook. So was that related to this issue? Is that a separate issue? What's going on there?
Well, it depends who you ask. If you ask Facebook, it has nothing to do with it. But let me put it to you like this. For a week before, the only thing I've been talking about was this episode. So, and then I was just pushed off. I didn't have any warnings. There was nothing like that. Now, I've been banned off Facebook before. I'd stopped really engaging on the platform much because I'd lost already 250,000 followers and I just couldn't be bothered investing energy and time to rebuilding something that they can just take away overnight without any real reason. But since I've been banned, I'd never really posted, you know, before they told me it was about the anti-Islamic speech, what they call hate speech. I don't engage in what I would consider real hate speech. I don't like real racists. I don't like people that hate others for no reason. I like to challenge ideologies, and I think Islam is one that you need to challenge. But I wasn't even really using Facebook anymore to do that because I realized that platform didn't allow you to do so. So they are now, the problem is here that there's no transparency. You ask them, I've challenged Facebook. I said, okay, fine, because you're claiming to political eye who got a response from Facebook, who they were saying it was hate speech. It had nothing to do with Jim Jeffries. So I challenge them, show me which posts you say that breach your community standards, you know, these pesky community standards that seem to allow them to just delete people without any, there's no real right of appeal, no real right of, you know, to defend myself. And what I find even more interesting is that then left-wing media will use the fact that Facebook banned me as an introduction to any article about me. Like, I've literally read articles in The Guardian that say, Abi Yamini, who has been banned from Facebook for hate speech. So now that becomes my title and I can't defend myself because there is no real process to be able to take them on unless you go through a legal proceeding in the United States, which is just not viable. And I know there's a few people at the moment that are trying that. It is something that needs to – I'm hoping Trump does something about it because I don't think that any of these social media giants should wield that sort of power. And it is real power. Today, it is real power.
Right, yeah, and I totally agree with you because, you know, unfortunately, you know, out there, people have lost their trust in the media. I mean, just this week, right? I mean, you have this Mueller investigation, this whole Russia collusion. I mean, the greatest superpower in the world is being touted that their leader, which was duly elected by the people, is a foreign agent for Putin, which, by the way, Donald Trump doesn't even get along that well with Putin. But, you know, if Donald Trump isn't safe and he was, you know, democratically elected, then why would anybody be safe in any other Western country? The reality that we have to look at here is that people like yourself, since you are a threat to them. And the funny thing is your videos, I think, at almost 2 million views at the moment. It might be more on your back end in your YouTube studio. I mean, that's damning. That's alarming because someone like you came in with a phone and you outsmarted 15 people. You outsmarted a studio. You outsmarted Comedy Central. More importantly, you outsmarted Viacom, the parent company, and you're fighting back and you're showing people that it takes just a simple device, which we mostly all own in the Western world, to do more. Because what is it? Is it the phone? Is it you? No, it's just the truth. The truth stands.
Exactly. Yeah.
So even if you're not that smart,
people want to see the truth, and that's why they won't win this war. At the end of the day, we will win it if we don't give up. We will win it because we have the truth on our side. And ironically, in this whole story, when I've challenged Facebook, even I've said to them, "Why do you still have the defamatory content on your site when I've proven it to be fake news?" Comedy Central hasn't removed it. Jim Jeffries hasn't removed it. Facebook hasn't removed it. Facebook has removed my video, which even on Facebook started to pick up a bit of steam as well. So it's become a joke. And the fact is that the truth that we have on our side is the only thing that'll help us win. It doesn't matter what they have, doesn't matter the funding they have, doesn't matter anything, because people are looking for the truth, and they can push us into corners of the internet. That's why we started TR.news, because Tommy Robinson was pushed off Facebook. You know, he had a million followers, and he had one of the highest engagement of any political figure in Europe, more than anyone. He would go online, there was, you know, 5,000-6,000 people within a minute on his live streams, that 10 times a day. And then they just cut him off, and they think that that's going to stop him. They don't realize that, well, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, people are looking for the truth, and people will find it. And wherever they push us, we'll be there, and we'll be fighting back. And the fact is that I think that these giants like Facebook, if they continue down this road, which I think they will, because they are so arrogant and deluded, that they will end up crashing their business into the ground. You can look at Facebook shares lately, it's dropped. So they're crashing their own business model into the ground by acting this way, because it's not the platforms that matter, it's the content today. It's the content that matters, and people want the truth.
Right, you know, and it's kind of funny, because there's actually a show from Comedy Central called Nathan For You, and it's brilliant, because it's basically about a guy who essentially constantly fools and tricks the media to producing stories that he invented and made up, and creates an entire episode fooling the media consistently while he's working for a company that's constantly fooling the people. Yeah. And I think they would back up and say, well, yeah, it's Comedy Central, everyone knows it's fake. But the issue is that people go to Trevor Noah, they go to the Daily Show, these ideas, they are going to these late night hosts to represent their ideas. And someone like yourself, you have no defense except for the fact that they have one thing that they're not realizing: alternative media is on an all-time rise. So while they might block you or might ban you, every time they ban one, it makes 10 more pop up. It's kind of like pulling a weed and then throwing, you know, the roots somewhere else. It's going to rebuild. And what's interesting is Facebook, as you bring up, is arrogant. As you know, recently they've pushed censorship further to ban what they're calling white separatism and white nationalism, which on the outside says, okay, good, yeah, I'm not for that. Now, of course, I will never say that censorship is good. I don't think bad ideas should be deleted. I think they should stand the test of debate. But, of course, separatism now starts to make ideas like criticizing multiculturalism, criticizing Islam, that's starting to put you in the same category as, say, a white supremacist, as a white nationalist. And, of course, you have been pushing that category. Do you feel that the media, for instance, is going to keep pushing further and further until they make all right-wing ideas or conservative ideas just as evil as what they would call literal Nazism, which we know is just code word for things that they don't like and the world that they don't want to live in?
Yeah, I think you can see it. And the media worldwide, everywhere I go, is the same, except actually Israel is a little bit better. But generally, the mainstream media around the world try to demonize anybody who has anything kind of conservative to say anymore, and put us into this box. They put me, for example, in a box with these white supremacists, neo-Nazis, Jew haters, people that don't actually agree. You know, the fact that even Comedy Central tried to put me somehow in connection to this Christchurch, you know, coward, this terrorist, they tried to put me together with him because somehow I'm conservative and he's meant to be some alt-right person. But the fact is, he didn't like me. He doesn't like anything I stand for. He literally says that he has no problems with Jews living in Israel, not in Australia. So, and the idea that Comedy Central should, that excuse that they are just a comedy channel and you should, I agree. I think comedians should be able to say whatever they want. I actually think a lot of the stuff that Jim Jefferies has said in the past that I wouldn't say personally, that would be considered quite vile against Islam. Well, I think in the context of comedy is okay, and I think it's funny. I just, one, don't think that then you have any right to point fingers at someone like me. And two, it still doesn't give you the right to chop up interviews. And, you know, I do a lot of, if anyone has seen any of my content where I hit the streets and I interview people on the street, and it's comedic. Like, I like to engage them in a way that's kind of funny. and I let them hang themselves. But I will never take a question that I'll never put a question to them and then cut it with another one of their answers. That's just wrong. It doesn't matter if you're a, you know, a primetime news channel or a comedy channel. They're doing it for a purpose, and the purpose and the whole segment that that he did there, that Jim Jefferies did there, was a serious segment, and it was about it was about the Christchurch massacre. It wasn't a joke. It was serious, and he was trying to put me, to lump me and anyone conservative into that same box of we are the reason that these nutcases are killing people, which is just wrong. And I think as a whole, the entire media is guilty of this, whether it's the comedy channels or it's the news channel. And that is why the alt media around the world is on the rise, because, again, people are looking for the truth.
Right. You know, I really appreciate that point. And to kind of end on this note, you know, what you do is amazing. I can't thank you enough. You know, out in America, we have a lot of alt media out here. And again, that's not alt-right media, as people might be concerned. There's alternative left-wing media too, which I respect a lot more than the mainstream. But of course, you know, Comedy Central sat on this footage for months, from my understanding, and decided to release it in a timely manner to try to manipulate it. For all we know, they didn't even intend to edit it like this. Because, I mean, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they had an idea and then, hey, evil got a hold of them. But that's the problem. They have the power to do this. And so someone like yourself gets ostracized and banned. But luckily, I think good always wins. I think light always overcomes darkness. And I got to thank you so much for coming on the show, for what you do here. Again, this is Avi Yemeni. You can find the link to his YouTube video and his YouTube channel below. The way you support him is by subscribing. My producer might have even gotten fancy, and you might find one of the links right here on the screen if we're feeling really cool in Hollywood. But again, check him out on Instagram, not on Facebook, unfortunately. And thank you so much again, Avi, for coming on the show from Melbourne. Avi will be out here in the United States. If you want to support him financially on his tour and his journey, he's going to be touring around American shows. You can also find that link, I'm sure, on his Facebook. Not his Facebook. Can't even find his Facebook, but you will find it on his YouTube and his Instagram. Facebook is no bueno. I don't even like Facebook myself. Avi, again, thank you so much. You got a last word for us?
Thanks for having me, and I'll see you in the States.
Yeah, see you in the States. Have a good one, man. Another week, another lie. How many more days, how many more years, how many more decades are the American people going to have to suffer with this bullshit? I mean, come on, we're not stupid. We think for ourselves. The very outlets they're trying to use, like YouTube, to control our minds and tell us how to think and what to do, are actually being used to stop their agenda. And people say, you guys are crazy, you're conspiracy theorists, you don't have an agenda, this isn't happening. Well, as we heard from Avi, it is happening, it's happening now, and it's something that affects each and every one of us. Thank you again for watching another episode of Slightly Offensive. We are a new show here on YouTube, and we are also available audio only on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We need your help and your support to keep going. Make sure you check out our website, slightlyoffensive.com. You can get merchandise, and also slightlyoffensive.com/donate to keep independent media and journalism alive. Have a great rest of the day, and God bless the United States of America.